Well, amen. Well, if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I am grateful. I've been looking forward to this. It's been an exciting time for me as we've come to this section on prayer and walking through this pattern for prayer, this model for prayer that the Lord Jesus gives us. And so we started this a few weeks back, and as we're in this series of faith's fingerprints and giving of alms and giving to others in need, and now we're looking at prayer, and then next week we are going to look at a couple of verses that Jesus gives us about fasting. We are in this series, this mini-series, kind of within Face Fingerprints, talking about prayer. And I appreciate Pastor Jonathan. Last week, we did have a week away, and I was close by working here. Actually, locked myself in the choir room back here for much of the time for a few days of trying to work. I'm pursuing my doctorate in ministry through Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and I'm completed everything except for the writing portion. So that's a point of prayer. So because I'm not a reader or a writer, and that's a terrible combination to keep going after degrees. So I don't know what's wrong with me. My wife covets your prayer. So and then the end of the week, we did have a chance to get a few days away and try to get some fresh oil before summer comes. And so I appreciate Pastor Jonathan stepping in, and we were able to follow and listen. We went to service at First Baptist Branson there, and then we caught an early service, and then we listened to the sermon, to the worship service on the way home. And so this pattern for prayer, as we walk through this and look at this, and so this morning I want to preach to you a message that I've titled Strategic Prayer Applied. So as we were walking through this and thinking through this, one of the things that gripped my heart is we're walking through and we've unfolded some of the theological foundational ideas that are here in the text. But if this is a pattern for prayer, how then does that reflect and affect my prayer life and my personal life? And so that's the heartbeat of this. We've tried to apply a little bit by little bit as we've gone through, but really today is a lot about application. We're going to rehash some of what we've gone through just briefly for synopsis and summary's sake, but nonetheless, today's about application. And so we've just been walking through this, and so the main idea of the text is this, is that God hears and answers humble, effective praying. I know you've seen that before. And then, how strategic is your praying? That's the question we've been asking of you as we look into this text. That's the question of the text and Jesus teaching his people to pray. And so Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, thank you for the cross and for salvation. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would fill me with your Spirit now. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Give me grace to preach as a dying man to a dying people about the risen Savior. Lord, I pray and ask you, teach us to pray. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. And so, as we walk through this pattern for prayer, we've talked about this, we've looked at this, we've talked about that this begins with praise, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We've unpacked that theological idea. We've unpacked the idea, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in submission to the will of God. And then give us this day our daily bread and seeking the provision of God and asking God to provide. And then forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We're going to take a brief moment and unpack that a little bit based on 14 and 15. And then verse 13, lead us not into temptation, that protection, protect us from the evil one. And then yours is the kingdom, power, glory forever and ever. Amen. And just ending with a praise and a worship. And so as we've walked through these major theological components that ought to make up our prayer life, what we want to do in a few moments is we want to unpack that. What does that look like? But before we can unfold this pattern of prayer and apply it very specifically to our lives and our prayer lives, 14 and 15 hit us as an explanation of what happens previously. And he wants to unfold and unpack this idea in verse 12. And so we need to apply this, because without proper application of this, forgive us as we forgive others, we may not be in a position where we're able to pray strategically and effectively. And so number one, if you're taking notes, strategic prayer applied practice. This has to be real practical in our life. It has to be something that's a part of our lives. And so notice verse 12. And forgive us our debts. If you mark or underline in your Bible, mark or underline as we forgive our debtors. Now, we have a little bit of explanation. I like it when Jesus explains the text for me, because I'm a wee bit slow. That was a good place for you to say amen. I'm not going to give it to you again. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive their men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so what's the deal here? Because we preach a clear gospel that it's grace through faith, it's not works. And so it seems to be, at first glance, maybe Jesus is contradicting that preaching of the salvation. But we've got to understand rightly what's happening here. And Jesus is giving the model, God forgive us as we forgive others, in the manner or like we forgive others. If you have your Bible, flip over to Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. It's a little bit longer text. That's why I ask you to flip there so you can follow along and look. Matthew 18 and verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children, and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. Notice the repetition there. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he paid the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, if each of you, do to each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So what do we have here? Is there this merited-based forgiveness or this works-based forgiveness? Not at all. I don't believe that all that's what Jesus is teaching here. Scripture has to interpret Scripture, and Scripture's really clear that if anybody here this morning has ever received eternal life from Jesus, you've ever been forgiven of your sin, you place your faith and trust in Him, Jesus is Lord and boss of your life. Jesus has done that without any work on your behalf because you can't earn it. And He places us in His hand. He never takes away that salvation. But what the teaching is here is that as Jesus is giving this model for prayer, as I seek forgiveness from God, see, a Christian, somebody that's truly born again, that understands the forgiveness of God, has the capacity to forgive others. Has the capacity to forgive others. Without the capacity to forgive others, you've probably not genuinely accepted the forgiveness of God. It's hard, right? Because in this room, there's real pain. There's real heartache. We really have been hurt. By family, by friends, a time and a season, maybe by one another. And one of the great difficulties as I use this for a pattern of prayer is coming to verse 12. Father, forgive me my debts as I forgive others. In the manner I forgive others. And church family, let me just be real clear. We won't have an effective, strategic prayer life without forgiveness. You won't really be able to pray effectively, strong, really have the ear of God without forgiveness. See, because the Bible tells us in multiple places to forgive one another. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Look, even as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Verse 14 and 15 tell us that we've got to forgive, and if we don't forgive, there's no forgiveness. It's not an earning. It's a matter of fact that if you've experienced the forgiveness of God, you are mandated, you are required, you are compelled to forgive others. Listen to me, dear friend. I realize I do not know the pain, the heartache, the things that you have gone through. And it's really, really easy to stand behind a pulpit and say, forgive them. I know a lot of pain, a lot of heartache. I don't know all your pain and all your heartache. But this is what I do know. Is that as a born-again believer, I don't have a choice. I'm compelled by the Spirit of God as a forgiven saint of God to forgive folks as Jesus forgave me. You know what that means? Totally and without condition. Well, if they'll just do this, or I don't have that freedom. I don't have that liberty. Well, how do you do that? Let me just pause here for a moment. I realize, how do you do that? It's a conscious act of your will. It's saying, God, it really in my flesh, I don't have the ability to forgive Chris. I don't have the ability to forgive him of these things. But as an act of my will and submission to your word, I forgive him in Jesus' name. And you know what happens when those feelings and those things well up tomorrow? You do it over again. And you do it every single time. You submit those feelings, you submit those things unto God and recognize they're not Christ-like. And man, before you know it, you'll have freedom. And it'll make a difference in your prayer life. Think about praying, God, forgive me. What if God forgave you exactly how you forgive others? Oh me. And so this is the real practical application of this, that we have this pattern for prayer and we just need to pause and unpack 14 and 15 specifically to my life and to your life. And so applied practice. Number two, strategic prayer, applied pattern. Now, I've wrestled with this. This opportunity to, what does this look like in our life? How do we communicate this? How are we going to present this to you? And so quite honestly, in the remainder of the notes, what I've done is I've essentially given you your own prayer guide out of this. Now you adapt it, you make it what it is, but we're going to walk through, and how is it, do I take, if this is a pattern for prayer, if this is a model for me to follow, how then do I follow it? Well, one of the keys that you're going to see throughout this guide that I've given you, and then I will talk about the bigger prayer guide that we've put together, is that it is full. Every point, there's a verse of Scripture highlighting a truth that is there. Now, here's the deal. If we believe that the Bible is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it expresses the mind, the will, the purpose of God, there's authority and there is power when I pray the Word of God. Now, let me clarify something. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay? Now, this next weekend, when the Razorback baseball team takes on Cal State, whoever they're going to play, I don't know who they're going to play. And there's Christians on the Razorback team, and there's Christians on Cal State's team, and they're both praying, God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God, I pray you give me the strength to win. And they're playing each other. Now, contrary to the most of our society, somebody is going to walk out a winner and a loser. And I know what you're thinking. We know who. That's beside the point, okay? But what I'm trying to help you understand is when we pray the Word of God, context matters. That we've got to understand the context and the point and the drive of that verse. And so as we walk through some of this, and I talk to you about finding verses of Scripture that talk about praise, finding verses of Scripture that talk about forgiveness, and praying those things, you've got to be really careful to make sure the verses of Scripture, the passages of Scripture we use, are not mistaken and they're not out of context. Does that make sense? This means yes. This means, okay, whatever. All right. So this strategic prayer, this applied pattern. And so notice verse 9. And again, in this manner, therefore pray. So he's given you this pattern. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Verse 9, right out next to it, worship. Worship. He is beginning with a focus on worshiping God. And so what should our prayer life maybe look at? I would encourage you to use this as a model for the coming days ahead and begin your prayer time in worship of God. And so what's one way we can do that? I've given you Amos 4:13, for behold, he forms the mountains and creates the winds and declare to man what his thought is. Make the morning darkness who tread the high places of the earth. The Lord of God of hosts is his name. And so what do? You dig into the Psalms and you dig into the Word of God and find verses and passages of Scripture that just cry out how awesome, how incredible God is. The Bible's full of them. And so what does this look like just real practically for me? I just pray this back to God. God in heaven, you form the mountains, you create the wind, you declare to man what his thought is and make the morning darkness. You tread the high place of the earth, and the Lord God of hosts is your name. Now let me help you. You begin worshiping God based on the truth of his word. God likes that praise. And for those of us that don't sing so well, I can worship God without singing. Now, I try to sing every now and then, and I try to stay away from you so you're not punished, okay? But use the word to worship the Lord Jesus. Worship God. All right, then verse 10. This is about submission. And so you have your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we begin with a worship of God, and then before we bring any petitions, anything, God, do this, we're just simply say, hey, God, I'm submitting. This is what Jesus, submitting to your will. And so Romans 12, 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so I begin my time of prayer and praising God. You create the wind, the stars, and Lord God of hosts is your name. And then Romans 12, God, help me not to be conformed to this world. Transform me by the renewing of my mind, that God, you may prove in me your will, that I submit to your will, Lord Jesus. Verse 11, you have this provision. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, he's asking for the most basic fundamental needs of life. And I realize this can be applied on a lot of different ways and a lot of different formats, but the essence of this, the most fundamental needs of my life, Jesus, I need you to provide that. And so here again, Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to your riches in Christ Jesus. So I simply pray, God, would you supply all my need according to your riches in Christ Jesus? Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12, this forgiveness and repentance. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And as I just walk through this real practically, and I may even pray that part, God, forgive me my debts as I forgive others. I use verses of Scripture like Psalm 51, 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. God, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Now, understand, folks, that this isn't a regurgitation. At first, man, whenever I began struggling through this and trying to pattern my own prayer life after this, sometimes it felt like, man, you're just saying these things. But if you really begin to earnestly pray and you get to, Father, you pray this day after day, forgive me as I forgive others, and you pause and you begin to confess specific sin, and by the way, I would urge you to do that. It's hard for Jesus to give that model because he didn't have any sins. You begin to confess pride, God, forgive me for a prideful look I had today. God, forgive me for trying to be deceitful about making people think I'm better or this is better than what it really is. Whatever sins, whatever it is you struggle with, and as God recalls them, you just pause and you meditate here in your prayer time. As you're asking God for forgiveness of sin, name them specifically. Blot out my transgressions. Cleanse me from my iniquity. Purge my sin. And in verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This protection of God. Hey, listen, I wonder how often you and I fall into temptation, fall into struggles, end up in places we shouldn't end up in that maybe would have never happened if we'd have began our day by praying, God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so what's a way we can apply this and pray through this and praying through the armor of God? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with you, which is able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And it goes on to say, having done all, being able to stand. Now here's the deal. Pray through the armor of God. Now, it's much more than asking God to put it on. It's all connected to the Word. But literally, pray through, God, put the peace of the gospel on my feet. Surround me. Put the belt of truth around my waist. God, give me the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation. Man, what a difference that may make in our lives. And then verse 13, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. He lands the plane with where he took off. And that's worship. Why? When I worship, begin with worship, God goes, I like that. And he bends his ear. You submit to the will of God. You seek Him for the most fundamental needs of what you need. You repent. Boy, then there's that deep fellowship. And then you're able to pray, God, I want to live for You. I want to live a life that's set apart for You. And boy, as you're there and you meditate and you spend time waiting on the Lord and hearing from the Lord, and then, man, the presence of God comes in, and boy, you're just overwhelmed with His goodness. In Isaiah 6:3, and cried to one another, said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And now, certainly, there's time and space to interject those needs, those specific requests that we have to implant those in. And so what we've done, what I've tried to do is I hope you pick one of these up. I'm sure we have more than enough. If we run out, we can print more and put more together. And so what I've done is, and I'm trying to, I want to be really careful here. I hope y'all know my heart at this point. I'm not trying to be boastful. This is something I'm still learning. I'm still growing in. One of the things most of it is essentially a prayer guide that I try to use on a daily basis. Just real practical, walking through some of these things. And so if you have one in front of you, there's a few passages, or a few verses of Scripture that I use to praise the Lord. There's some things that I pray for my personal growth. God, make me to grow in the grace and knowledge of You, Lord Jesus, that You be glorified both now and forever. Okay? So there's some practical things there that I pray for my own growth. There's things there that I pray for Dadrian on a daily basis and pray for our house, that God, You would camp Your angels around us, put a hedge of protection around us, over our finances, that His presence and the fullness of joy, and we dwell together at His right hand, our health, and so on. There's things I pray for my children every day. Things that I pray for Katie because she has trusted Jesus for salvation. And so I pray for her spiritual growth and those things. And then there's the about salvation, I pray for my boys. God, that you would convict them of sin, righteousness, of judgment. They'd repent, be converted, that their sins would be blotted. Listen, don't you think God hears that? When you pray the will of God, and that's the thing that God uses and honors. And so I pray, God, for my wife and for Katie, that they'd exhibit the fruits of the Spirit as believers. And then pray for that they'd understand that evil company corrupts good habits. God, I pray, would you raise up godly friends for my children? And so just some real practical things that I've learned from other people. Over our church, there's a list of verses there that I pray for, and I've given this out on Sunday nights and what have you, things that I pray for our church. God, I pray that every member would follow you and be a fisher of men. It's one of the things I pray for regularly for our church. God, raise up laborers and be Christ-likeness. One of the things I ask you to pray for me, for our staff, particularly our pastoral staff, that God, from Acts, God, help us to give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And then there on the back, our prayer team has given me, they've given me some verses that they pray regularly for our church and how they pray those. And so there towards the back is some verses from your very own prayer team that are listed there. And then on the back as well. And so we put this together, and listen, I realize some of you could add a whole lot to this. You may. Much of this came, and I'm going to talk about another resource in a moment, from Dr. Steve Gaines, pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church. He followed Adrian Rogers whenever he stepped down, and then Adrian went to be with the Lord not too long after that. But last year, I told you this 2 weeks ago, last year, in between Victory and Baptist and coming here, we were on our way through Memphis, stopped and worshiped at Bellevue Baptist, and he shared, and a lot of this is from Dr. Gaines and some things that he prays. And so I've been doing this for right at a year now. And I'm telling you, folks, I still need to learn. I still need to pray. God, teach me to pray. But God has grown me in that area in so much that I can't express. And so on that same subject, one resource I want to put before you is there's Dr. Steve Gaines' book, Pray Like It Matters. Okay? There are 25 or 30 copies of these over here in the Ministry Opportunities area. Just a $5 donation. If you can't afford $5, take a book. It'll be okay. If you can, drop one in there. If you can pay for somebody else, it's great. I promise you we're not making any money off of it at all, okay? But here's the deal. It's laid out like a 12 or 13-week Bible study. We're not necessarily going to do that as a church, although I may use social media and meetings at times maybe to talk about some of the things. But he walks through much of this. And so what does this look like in our lives? And he talks about prayer cards. Some of you are familiar with just getting a 3x5 prayer card or whatever the case may be, and putting the verse on one side, and then putting how you're praying or who you're praying that verse for. I use on my phone an app called PrayerMate, and so it just pulls up, and it has a list of those prayer requests, and I hit pray, and so everything you see in that guide, I've got in this list. It's a free app, and so I use that list to pray through, and that's a list of all those things right there, and so just pray through those. And I realize some of you are saying, this is the strangest portion of a sermon I've ever heard. I didn't know how to pray. I know how to pray effectively and strong and strategically and really be effective and efficient. I was guilty at times going, God bless my family. God work in my family, and not knowing how that's played out. One of the things that I absolutely stole from Dr. Steve Gaines is in that prayer guide where I pray for not just my kids, but my kids' kids and their kids. This is what I pray, and it's in there. God, I pray as your word and your spirit do not depart from me. I pray it wouldn't depart from my kids' kids, both now and forevermore. I don't know about you, but I want to leave a legacy where my kids go, man, I want to follow Jesus like my daddy did or my granddad did. And so, here's the deal. You can get the book and read it. You can get the prayer guide and read it. You can use the notes from today and use it as a prayer guide. But the greatest tutor for prayer is the prayer closet. Actually get in there, get on your knees, and spend time before the Lord. And so these are just some tools that help me. These are some things as I understand this pattern for prayer. How can I use this to pattern my prayer life? And I walk through the Lord's Prayer almost every day, praying through that. Sometimes it looks a little differently, and I change it up just so it stays fresh. And so here in a few moments, we're going to end with a time of prayer. I know that's revolutionary, right? But let me tell you about a couple other opportunities you have. Also at our welcome desk here after our invitation, I'm going to invite our team up. We've got a team of six individuals going to Agronomia, Ukraine. They leave either Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on if they have to beat road closures, depending on the flooding, and they're flying out Thursday morning. And so we're going to pray over them. But one thing that's there, an opportunity, there's a sign-up sheet, a big sheet. Sign your name up to next to somebody's name that you're going to be a prayer partner for them. And then next to that, there are little sheets like this. And what Pastor Jonathan has done is he's given us an idea on a daily basis what they're going to be doing, when they're going to be doing it, and it's given us Russellville times. They're 8 hours ahead. We're on real time. I don't know what time they're on. We're on real time. And so it's given us the real time of what's going on. And so in case you want to get up at 2 a.m. Russellville time to pray for them, and sharing the gospel, Lord, maybe you wait till a decent hour of 5. Whatever the case may be, you can pray for them while you know what's going on. And then there's a blank to write their name in just in case. I know none of you would forget, but they will be gone for about 10 days. And so you can write their name and put that somewhere. The other thing I want to mention to you is tonight we are showing the film called War Room. I realize it's been out a while, and a lot of folks have seen it. If you've seen it, come again. If you haven't, come. Invite somebody. There's going to be some opportunities to sign up to be involved more with prayer here at our church. And so I don't care what age, what abilities you think you do have or don't have, anybody can pray. And there's going to be some opportunities for you to be able to be plugged in and involved. We have been praying, God, teach us to pray. And He's brought us to a time such as this. And man, I can't believe what God may do if we really get earnest and serious about praying. So, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Jesus, I pray if there's anybody here who is yet to trust you for salvation, I pray, God, that here and now they would repent of their sins and they would place their faith and trust in you. God, give them grace to call out on you for salvation. And if that's you right there, right now, where you're at, simply pray. Ask God to forgive you. Give your life to Him. Ask Him to save you and be the boss of your life. If you pray and you ask that and you mean it with all your heart, here in just a moment, we're going to have some folks that will come forward and they'll pray and spend some time here at the altar. You come. You take my hand and say, Brother Chris, I ask Jesus to save me today. I want to pray over you. I want to encourage you. We want to share some truth with you. and just try to be a blessing. God, I pray in these next few moments that we would worship you. God, we would be obedient to you, that you'd be glorified. God, move, help us to respond to you in obedience. This time is for you. You may just want to come get on this altar and ask God to help you learn to pray.